chapter, verses 3 through 6. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Jesus had a reputation of removing evil spirits and of healing people of all kinds of diseases. When someone has a proven power to do this kind of thing, word gets around fast. And people who have unhealed diseases or ailments seek out healers. Those of us in this room who either have or have had some very serious ailment that somehow didn't seem to be diagnosed well, or at least no one had the ability or the knowledge to heal, we understand that very well. We keep looking for healers, whatever that may mean. And so it was that a man with leprosy came to Jesus, hoping with all his might to be healed. The word leprosy in those times and within the Bible seems to be an umbrella term that includes all kinds of skin diseases, and particularly those skin diseases that are infectious, that are communicable. It seems that leprosy in all of these different forms caused physical, social, and spiritual suffering. God required physical and spiritual cleanness of people who would have any connection with him. And so people who were lepers were to live alone. The Old Testament uses the term outside the camp. They were to wear torn clothes. They were to let their hair be unkept, and they were to wear some kind of covering over the lower part of their face. You can well imagine when you encountered such a person that looked like that, dirty, unkept, a frightening figure, and particularly if some part of their body that was leprous was showing. If they came near clean people, lepers were to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people could clear a path around them, so that they wouldn't touch them, come into any contact whatsoever with them. Because as God's people, Israel was not to touch anything or anyone that was ceremonially unclean. And so this leprous man is desperate to be healed. He's desperate to end his suffering. He's desperate to be clean before God. And so he acts boldly. When we read this text in Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 through 45, we simply read about a leprous man coming up to Jesus, falling on his knees and begging Jesus, saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." We read nothing about this leprous man calling out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Maybe because he didn't want Jesus to run away. He comes up to him, it seems unannounced, suddenly, out of nowhere, and falls down before him and begs him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Someone has said, it's sometimes easier to believe in God's power than to believe in his mercy. This leprous man knew of Jesus' power. He had heard about it. The word had gone out far and wide. But this man was unsure of Jesus' mercy. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, that one short sentence is almost a question and an affirmation at the same time, isn't it? I wonder how many people today are unsure of Jesus' power and of his mercy. Jesus responded to this man immediately, compassionately, assuredly, powerfully, and unbelievably. Jesus told the man that he was willing to heal him. And then Jesus touched him, And the process of doing that, of touching this leprous man, Jesus made himself ceremonially unclean. Nothing matches human touch for a sense of self-worth. The researchers have found that infants must be touched often during each day in order for them to have physical and emotional development. In fact, infants who are not touched often each day fail to develop. Human touch assures us that we are accepted and that we're loved. I wonder how many of us are afraid to touch others or to be touched by others. Gary Chenault and I went out this past week one morning, and we went to a place that works with and serves homeless people, people who live in the river bottom here in Ventura. And as we walked into this place, there were roughly 50 people that were being served a kind of a continental breakfast brunch about 9 o'clock or so in the morning. And quite frankly, when you walked in and you saw these people, their heads were dirty and their hair was unkept, their clothes were ruffled and dirty. Oftentimes they had beards if they were men, and the women looked pretty unkept as well. And quite frankly, they remind you a lot of the description of what it meant to be a leprous person. And I'll tell you very honestly, you didn't want to touch them. But I wonder if Jesus had walked in with Gary and me, how many of them he would have touched, and how many of them he would have allowed to touch him. As Jesus' reputation spread as a healer of all kinds of sicknesses, people often crowded around him, hoping just to be healed by touching him or his clothing. And surprisingly enough, just by touching Jesus or his clothing, they were healed. But Jesus didn't he risk catching some kind of disease from these people who were unclean, who had these infectious and contagious diseases? Didn't he make himself ritually, ceremonially unclean? Didn't Jesus disobey the law that God had given through Moses? Yes, yes, and yes. But Jesus had a right and a reason to do what he did. Jesus had a right to do this because he was God's son. And along with the Father, Jesus had given that very law. And Jesus had a reason to do this because he was showing that godly compassion and love are above ritual and regulation. Jesus often found himself with crowds, and it's interesting to see how Jesus reacted and responded to situations that he saw within crowds. On one occasion, Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 that Jesus was involved with a crowd, and it says he had compassion on them because he saw that they were harassed and helpless, and so he called out for help for them. On another occasion in a crowd, Jesus had compassion about their situations, and he healed their sick. And yet, on another occasion, Jesus was with a crowd, and when he saw that they had nothing to eat, he fed them out of compassion. Jesus could have healed this singular leprous man without touching him. He certainly had the power, didn't he? But Jesus did not heal him that way. Jesus could have told the man to go on his way and he would be healed. After all, he told other people that, and they were healed. But Jesus, on this occasion, did not do that. Instead, Jesus spoke reassuring words to this man. He reached out, and in all this man's squalor and ailment and disease, he touched him to show his acceptance of this man. And then Jesus immediately healed him. Why did Jesus bother to speak to touch, or to heal just one more leprous man? There were, after all, so many I believe it's because Jesus wanted to show God's love and compassion for the most alienated people. And it was hard to be any more alienated than a leper in those times. Or frankly, in any time and place, even down to today. Jesus wanted to show that God is not unwilling to dirty himself with unclean people. After all, that's what Jesus came to do, was to call unclean people to come to be cleansed by him spiritually. Jesus wanted to show that people are infinitely more important than laws and rules, that laws and rules were made for people, not vice versa. He wanted to show he was God's Son with the power to cleanse us of all things, including sin. He wanted to show that he was God's promised servant king. He wanted to show that he fulfilled the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 29 and verses 18 through 19. So he said of his own ministry in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." He wanted it known that he fulfilled the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 53 and verse 4, where it says of the Messiah, and which would be Jesus himself, "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." To show his obedience to his Father in heaven, Jesus told this now cleansed man who was once a leper to also show his obedience to God. The man was to go show himself to the priest and offer the sacrifices commanded for his cleansing as a testimony to them. The priest, after all, would see that this man was no longer leprous, that he was cleansed, and he in turn would glorify God because only God could do such a thing. But this cleansed man did not do as Jesus directed him. Instead, he went out and spread the news about what had happened to him and about the one who had done it. He was overjoyed about his cleansing and about the end of his suffering, all of his suffering, and he knew that others could be cleansed as well of their suffering. Great news cannot be contained. It must be shared, amen? And don't we have the greatest of good news to share with others? It takes a desperate person to realize how much they need help and humble themselves before the only person who can heal them and who can cleanse their lives. Once healed and cleansed, only such a person is so overjoyed that they must tell others. They must. They just must. Since so many people wanted to be healed by Jesus, he couldn't openly enter towns any longer after this particular occasion. And so he stayed in lonely places. But even there, he was mobbed by people who wanted to be healed. And there is an ironic twist that comes up in this story that isn't spoken of, but is there nonetheless. And that is, the man who had leprosy and who had to be outside the camp in lonely places away from everybody else is now in town with everybody else, and Jesus, who is clean, is outside town alone. He's really taken on the infirmities and carried the diseases, if you will. They'd exchanged positions. Luke 17 and verses 11 through 19 tells of Jesus encountering 10 leprous men. Men who wanted to be healed. They came to Jesus and begged him to heal them. And so Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And as they went, they were healed. But only one came back, praising God, throwing himself at Jesus' feet and thanking Jesus. And Jesus told him that his faith had made him well. His faith had cleansed him. This leprous man who we first hear about there in Mark 1 had come to Jesus, throwing himself down at Jesus' feet. And in this combination of question and affirmation, if you are willing, if you're willing, you can heal me. You can make me well. You can cleanse me. And Jesus comes to us, calling out to us, if you are willing, if you are willing, come to me and I will make you well. I will make you cleansed. I will make you whole. I will heal you of all of the spiritual ailments that you're facing because I have the power and I have the compassion. Are you desperate enough to throw yourself at Jesus' feet, begging him, Lord, make me clean? Cleanse me of my sins, my sorrows, my guilt, my shame. In my suffering from these things, cleanse me, adopt me, and transform me. And then keep me clean, Lord, keep me clean. Are you ready to act on your faith and be made spiritually well? Are you willing to respond to Jesus' call? Are you willing to come to him and be made clean by coming forward right now as we stand and sing this song?